changemakers, peace builders, human rights defenders, and youth activists. To all of you who are listening, a very warm welcome. This is the Change Rebels podcast, the podcast that brings you stories from the changemakers at the front line of youth peace and security. This is Emily Vesky.
Prawa w tym państwie bezprawia. Prawo nigdy nie będzie po naszej stronie.
Today we are talking with a Twitter queen and outspoken trans activist about increasing religious crackdowns on LGBTQ rights in Poland. As democracy rapidly retreats in parts of Europe, young activists live with fear of their life in a country where people have gotten stuck in between the geopolitics of EU and Russia and a Poland which no longer fulfills its obligations under Article 7 of EU's shared values of democracy, the rule of law, and respect for fundamental rights. We speak with Maja Heban, trans, queer, and youth activist in Poland. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, what do you think EU's triggering of Article 7 in December 2017 meant for Poland? EU's shared values of democracy, the rule of law, and respect for fundamental rights. Did this matter to the Polish people in terms of democracy and rule of law? And did it change anything?
I think it would, in the beginning, it was a sign of hope. Because we really wanted someone to notice what was going on. And I think we really thought that it was such a big event. I mean, I think it was the second time ever that this happened in the history of European Union. Obviously, with Hungary also, it doesn't feel great that your country is the subject of such action. But also, if you know that the bad stuff is going on, then obviously some kind of reaction is wanted. However, I would have to say that the follow-up has been very disappointing. I mean, it's going to be 4 years soon. Not that much has happened. I think from time to time we hear about some progress in this.
Did you at all think about this Article 7 also being connected to your activism fighting for defending human rights in Poland?
I don't think it has ever come up, the treatment of LGBT people in regards to the rule of law. I think it was always kind of separate. And to be honest, the subject of queer people in Poland is pretty recent. Obviously, this has been going on for many years, but international attention is something rather recent, especially given the context of the previous election that happened earlier this year, and also the crackdown on activism this summer.
Do you feel that what's going on in Poland is well known outside of Poland?
I think so. I think it is, at least when it comes to rule of law. I think people are generally aware that there is something going on. Obviously, the details are something that is kind of hard to remember even for us, because there's one thing after the other. So you have to really stay focused on the subject to keep up with you know, everything that's happened during those years. I mean, it's been 5 years almost. I think people are more or less aware, but this has been going on for years. And, you know, once per year we get some kind of update that maybe the European Union will take another step forward towards, I don't know, finger wagging at Poland. Because honestly, nothing concrete has happened. There has been no, I mean, there has been discussion, obviously, and our reputation has been severely damaged. But any mention of European funds is just talk. in the end, we always get the same funding. There are no privileges restricted. When it comes to solid consequences, I honestly don't see anything happening. And to be honest, I'm not sure how well known this is to people from the European Union, but in Poland, the government doesn't really care about all those reputational damages. They don't really care. To them, the European Union is like the big bad West, deaf civilization, you know, with gay marriage and feminism and abortion and euthanasia. It's just, we are the stronghold of good old Catholic values. So if they don't like us, it means we're doing something great. That's their mindset.
And I think it's very interesting how you bring up like the push for old Christian or maybe even Catholic values. I think the recent election in Poland really showed a country that is completely split in two, where the LGBTQ rights were at the center of it, with extremely close election results between either one candidate, Andrzej Duda, running on a completely anti-gay platform, while the other candidate, Rafał Trzaskowski, ran on a platform actually in support of LGBTQ rights. And what conclusions do you draw from this crossroads where Poland at and where the Polish people are at? What I hear from you is like, this is also not only about Poland, but kind of like making a clear line between the values that Poland is representing and the values that the rest of EU is representing.
Yeah, there's definitely an ambition in Polish right-wing politicians to be this kind of wall that protects the Eastern Europe or just Poland in general, but to be this kind of wall between, I guess, the rotten West and the barbaric East, I would say. Of course, it's not my opinion, but there is definitely a very, very strong Islamophobic vibe in Poland. And there's a lot of racism as well. So I would say that many Polish people are really identifying with nationalism, and they really believe that they can't even identify with Germany, with France, UK because of neo-Marxism or, you know, stuff like that. It's just, they always have those keywords that describe what's happening in the West. Generally, it's just too much liberalism, too much leftism, too much feminism, gay rights, everything is just bad. But on the other hand, on the East, we have, you know, Muslim countries. And I guess this alliance between other Slavic countries like Ukraine, I don't really see it there. I would say that Poland wants to be this sort of solitary stronghold that sort of defends, you know, the land from evil, but at the same time, no one is as great as we are, so there's no one else to defend beside us. It's like a very strong need for being a martyr and a hero, or a messiah even.
And have you been thinking anything about, like, it's very interesting. It's almost like the way that you're describing it, a new type of Cold War situation in Europe. But in the midst of this, where the fight is actually being played out, is within the framework of LGBTQI rights. Yeah. Can you explain a little bit, why is this the case? What is happening? Why are we having two presidential candidates in the election just a month ago in Poland, where one, the basic, like the first number one priority for one president elect is a completely anti-gay platform, and the other one is one that is based on actually a pro-LGBTQ rights platform.
Actually, that was something I also wanted to comment on before. Rafał Trzaskowski is actually not that pro-LGBT. In fact, I don't think he has said anything in favor of gay rights, of LGBT rights during the campaign. We were even kind of waiting for him to say, you know, to say the word, to say LGBT people or gay people or rainbow, anything that would kind of not allude to us, but directly, you know, explicitly say that this is about the dignity and rights of LGBT people. The most that he did, I would say, was speaking out against hatred, against, you know, further divisions of the society. But it was like, it was always between words. It was always against hatred. And the fact that it was against, you know, that the hatred going on at the time was against LGBT people, that was something that everyone knew. So it's a difficult situation, because if you are in favor of gay rights in Poland and you are a politician, basically you have to be on the left. And the left in Poland is very weak currently. Currently, extreme nationalists, who sometimes sounds like actual neo-Nazis, they get more votes in polls than the left.
But compared to like 10 years ago, I remember you, for example, had the first transsexual representative being elected, and it just seems since then that LGBTQ rights are being like rolled back in Poland. And like you're explaining, even the candidate that is kind of supporting some sort of unity in the country and at least like standing up against like hate and threats against different minorities is not explicitly mentioning LGBTQ community. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we have like back in 2015, all the funding was cut from all the NGOs, non-governmental organizations in Poland that did not in some way obey to Christian values, whatever that means. And then you have like an increasing use, especially now recently with protesters and activists being arrested, an increased use of regulation, often under Article 196 of Poland's criminal code, which says that a person who offends the religious feelings of others by publicly insulting a religious object or place of worship may face up to 2 years in prison. What is the reality that you as a trans activist face in Poland?
Well, actually, you mentioned that 10 years ago we had the first transgender MP. Also, 10 years ago was a very, very important year. In 2010, I'm not sure if you remember, there was this plane crash where the Polish president died, along with, you know, almost 100 other people, including his wife and many prominent politicians and members of the army, etc. So that moment, I think, really cemented the division in Polish society, with some people really standing behind this view that the government at the time was kind of undermining the president and sort of led to his demise. And maybe even it was some kind of, you know, attack. And on the other hand, there were people who are completely against that and who were just saying that this was an accident, or maybe even some kind of bad organization on the part of you know, the plane. The plane had some difficulties, or you know, maybe the crew was being pressured to be quick, etc. It was just a lot of. It was even. I think it was even called a Polish war. You know, like a war of Polish people against Polish people, with some people mourning this loss and thinking that it was an attack, thinking the plane was just shot down or just exploded with a bomb, and some other people thinking that this was ridiculous. There were people gathering with religious symbols in front of the presidential palace, thousands of people, with people protesting against that next to them. So it was just the beginning of a huge divide that is currently still going on, but it's also strengthened by the anti-LGBT sentiment. And you asked earlier about why LGBT rights were such a focus during this campaign. I think it was precisely because of the divide. In a few elections back, this public enemy were refugees. It was the time where the refugee crisis was the subject number one in Europe. And basically, the leader of currently reigning party was saying stuff like, they will bring, you know, foreign diseases here, foreign parasites, they will bring crime, rape, just look at what's going on in Germany, you know, a lot of fake news, a lot of stuff about no-go zones in many countries. Sweden was definitely being painted as some sort of utopia for refugees where they can just roam free and, you know, do crime, etc. So it was like a dark picture of this West just conquered by foreign people. And now, since the refugee crisis has somewhat become, I guess, less of a sensational topic, LGBT rights have been taken into consideration. And the pretext for that was that the current president, current mayor of Warsaw, who was the main opposition candidate during this presidential election, he almost won, Rafał Trzaskowski, the one we mentioned already. He signed a declaration of LGBT rights in Warsaw, which was basically a declaration that some funds would be set aside and some time would be set aside to do stuff like some basic pro-equality education in Warsaw schools, maybe a LGBT rescue hotel for people who are running from home or just, you know, facing homelessness because of being queer and youth. So really just, you know, basic stuff like education, some help towards people in crisis. It's really nothing sensational. However, the right wing have completely blown it out of proportion. They have accused Trzaskowski of wanting to promote pedophilia in schools and just sexualizing children. They basically say that the WHO, the World Health Organization, which is, you know, an authority in many cases, in many aspects of medicine, etc., of health, that they are promoting the sexualization of children, the promotion of pedophilia, etc. They say insane stuff like 4-year-old children will be taught to masturbate, 10-year-olds will be taught to ask for gay sex, etc. So this lie has been planted in Polish consciousness, and it has really taken root. And we've been fighting this for 2 years, and people are still believing that.
And what is the status quo for LGBTQ rights?
I can definitely understand if people are skeptical when they hear, you know, when they hear me using words like pre-genocide. And I myself am skeptical. I don't believe that, you know, even talking about this shows how serious and bad the situation is. Because I, as an activist, have to say, I don't believe that we will be killed. You know, like, it's Poland. It's the center of Europe and a country in the European Union. And I'm saying if I think I will be killed. It's insane. But yeah, I can definitely understand the skepticism. I am skeptical myself. But at the same time, if you know a thing or two about the escalation of violence, then you can see the signs. So even if you don't believe that the people in power will be actually willing to go that far, there are still signs that we cannot ignore. For example, just several days ago, head of education for some part of Poland said that the LGBT is a virus more dangerous than coronavirus. And he was sacked a couple of days later. But now the Ministry of Education is really firmly denying that it was because of that. I mean, in a normal country, when someone in a public education position says that a minority is a virus, then it's obvious that you have to fire such a person and maybe even prosecute them because it's dehumanizing. But for this government, they don't want anyone to think that this was the reason for his firing. And actually today, the head of the voivodeship, which is like a county or something like that, district of this district where this person was the head of education, so the head of this entire district, said that he would actually say the same thing. He agrees that LGBT people are a virus. I mean, obviously they were going to say that LGBT ideology is a virus, but there is no distinction. LGBT ideology, as they say, is just human rights for LGBT people. That's what they're disagreeing with. So you can't just say LGBT rights are a virus and say that this is not about people, because it is. It's about human rights. So, you know, and this is just a recent example. 1 year ago, there was almost a bomb attack on one of the pride marches in the city of Lublin. A married couple brought a homemade bomb. It was already a period of so much hate speech that it wasn't just their idea. The seed of hatred was already there, because it was 2019 was the beginning of this intense hatred towards LGBT people in public discourse. So they brought a homemade bomb, and an expert from the police, because the police have stopped them. An expert from the police have said that actually several people could have been killed if the attack went through. So they were sentenced to 1 year in prison, which means that either they are free now or they will be free in a couple of months. And a couple of months before that, there was this attack on the march in Białystok, which has gotten quite a reaction internationally, because so many people were just attacked with stones, and just it looked like a war zone. There were literally photos of people bleeding all over the place and just running around crying. Thousands of attackers, thousands of onlookers just yelling the worst slurs at them. So I don't know. If the government doesn't move with violence towards us, then they are giving the okay to the people to bring the violence. And it's already started to happen.
And I think it's very interesting, again, what you're saying a little bit about Western or Eastern Europe, because I did my parts of my bachelor degree in Wrocław, in Poland. Mm-hmm. And at the university, this is now over 10 years ago, and people were extremely proud to call themselves at least Central Europeans. But a lot of the university lecturers actually said that Poland was now part of Western Europe. And it seems like it's just reversed into something completely different in a very short time. And we see the extreme clashes of that being the police coming in and now actually arresting LGBTQ activists. And this is especially like in concerns of the activist called Margot, the commissioner for human rights of the Council of Europe, also spoke out on Twitter, and I know you shared this, and tried to promote the release of the LGBTQ activist called Margot, who was detained early this August for just blocking an anti-LGBT hate van and putting up rainbow flags around Warsaw monuments. And I know you yourself have also part of some of these, or at least sharing photos of these kind of manifestations, and having a mass arrest in Warsaw just 1-2 weeks ago, with 48 activists being arrested at the same time, using this new, harsher perspective on the criminal law. And I'm wondering a little bit, somehow it gives hope, because it seems like things can change quickly, but also things are happening so quickly now, pulling back on human rights for the LGBTQ community, that I'm wondering what needs to happen for this shrinking space to have a turnaround. What are you doing? What do you think will actually change the situation? What support do you need to help you push this back in a democratic direction?
You know, first of all, I just want to say sorry that I'm kind of answering your questions, you know, two questions back. So I will answer that almost immediately. I just want to say that it was more than 48 activists. I think it was 53, because the situation was really changing overnight. There were many MPs involved who were trying to locate all the detainees, and some people could not be found anywhere. Police were lying to people. Like, literally, one MP went to the police station and was told that this and this person was there, and then another MP was told that this person wasn't there. So there were literally people trying to find their relatives, their close ones, and being lied to by the police.
Is the government trying to hide their pushback on LGBTQ rights?
Well, they are not hiding, that's for sure. They are, I would say, they are almost proud of what they're doing. They are definitely doing everything out in the open, because for them, being homophobic, being transphobic, being very vicious towards gay people, that's not something you should be ashamed of for them. That's actually a virtue. Of course, they will never say that they are homophobic, because they have nothing against gay people. They just don't want the LGBT ideology, etc., the gay agenda in Poland.
Can you develop a little bit more on what it is to be an activist in Poland today within the LGBTQ rights area?
During the protests, during their arrest, also one information that possibly didn't go into circulation internationally, immediately, one of the detainees was trans and she was sexually assaulted by the police on the police station, because the police were checking out her genitals and just making fun of her. So this is what we're dealing with. Currently, there are people stopping these, how do I call them? We call them pogromobus, which translates to pogrom vans, I guess. There are these vans that drive around Polish cities. They have been driving around Polish cities for years now, and they are plastered with posters saying that gay people want to rape children, gay people are rapists, gay people adopt children to rape them, they live shorter lives, they spread disease, etc. Basically stuff that you would say about a group that you want to, perpetuate genocide on. Yeah.
It's what happened in Rwanda before the genocide there. Is what
we don't even have
Germany.
Not even in Germany, even in Poland. I mean, we in Poland had millions of Jewish citizens who were murdered during the Holocaust. And it didn't just happen, you know, one day. It was years of anti-Semitic propaganda that was perpetuated by Nazis, by the church, by nationalist, extremely vile propaganda that is very reminiscent of what we're having now against LGBT people, and the police are not doing anything to stop them. Every couple of days, this van is being stopped by people in the streets, by, you know, some activists, but also some random people just walking out in the street and just laying in front of the car or just under the car. And the police always basically stop the people, the activists. Sometimes they detain them, sometimes they just give them tickets, but basically they focus on the activists, and the vans are free to go. Not only with the posters, but they also have speakers. So through those speakers, they are spreading this vile propaganda. And about a week ago, they have moved from Warsaw to Poznań. And in Poznań, it was determined that they are not allowed to use the speakers, but they are still using the speakers. And we have videos of the police stopping the activists, stopping the cars, and then the van is moving forward and immediately turns the speakers on, and the police is not doing anything. So the police is in on it. And that's what it is being an activist in Poland today. You have to be ready to be arrested. Seriously, when I go to a protest, or, you know, when I saw this, I guess, civil stopping of this car going on, I was walking out the house, and I was writing my boyfriend's name on my arm, because I realized that I wouldn't even know what number to call if I was arrested. So I'm leaving the house, you know, ready to be arrested. And when I leave the house with a rainbow bag, I never listen to music anymore, because I need to be ready to, I need to be aware of my surroundings, because there is a surge in violence, there is a surge in hate speech. Of course, you will not hear that from any statistics, because there is no legislation around gay, there is no gay protection, there is no queer hate speech protection. So basically, the police will not record that in any sort of statistics, but I am every day reading about more people being beaten up, more people being, called names in the street. I have been called names in the streets. It hasn't happened to me during the 10 years from my transition, but the last year or 2 years is just a surge of violence in the streets. And actually, yesterday I read that this is funny, but it's also tragic. A sign with the words "Zmień piec," which means change your furnace, which is basically this campaign towards changing furnaces in houses towards more ecologic ones. It was attacked because it looks almost like zmień płeć, which is change your gender. So someone was walking by, or rather cycling by, thought it was a zmień płeć, change your gender sign, and kicked it down.
It's just outrageous. I mean, everything that you're telling me is insane.
Yeah.
And what I'm thinking about is like how... I mean, you're such a strong voice. You're so well spoken now, Maya. And
Thank you. But
this is not only like you activating for a cause. This is also your own personal life that's involved. And I'm very inspired by your story. But I also wonder what keeps on motivating you. Like, your human rights are taking away from you. Your dignity is taking away from you. You are one of the few people that still keeps on taking on this struggle in Poland. What keeps you going?
Actually, I think there are many more people, and I think that's what keeps me motivated, because like I said before, the election the presidential race was very close. It was almost 50-50 split. So there are so many people who are actually speaking out against this. It's almost like we are two countries in one. So there are all those people, especially young people. I am mostly active on Twitter nowadays, and I interact with so many young people who are, you know, some of them are fighting, some of them are scared. But if I think about, you know, 19-year-old kids, 16-year-old kids who are becoming themselves, who are really finding out about being queer themselves, I really want them to live in a better country, in a country that they don't feel afraid to call their home and don't feel ashamed of. So I'm scared. And I also think of emigration, but also I don't want to, because this is also my country. I have been born here. I have been speaking Polish all my life. You know, I want to live here. I don't want this country to be lost to some kind of neo-Nazi bullshit.
What I hear when you speak about all these young people that also kind of need to have hope for their own future in Poland, what can you reflect a little bit on what do you think young LGBTQ persons think about their future in Poland and of the future of Poland?
To be honest, some polls show that many young people actually will vote for nationalists, for the even more far-right option. Some of them also for the left, mostly young women. So I guess we will see in 5 years, in 10 years. But now I would say that, I mean, I was in their position many, many years ago when it was very clear to me that when I was, you know, when I was transitioning, when I was talking with my peers who are gay, lesbian, that it would be a long, long time before we can talk about stuff like, I don't know, whether or not my gay friend is going to get married. It was obvious for us that it's not something that will happen in 5 years. It was not something that would happen in 10 years. And now, 10 years later, the situation is so much worse. It almost feels like the 20, 30 years of progress was just thrown out the window in just a few years. So I can only imagine how hopeless they might feel. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a huge exodus of queer youth from Poland, because, well, you can go to a different country and be treated like a normal human being, and here you will have politicians and bishops and, you know, journalists calling you a disease, a plague, etc. So it's inhuman, really, and I wouldn't be surprised if people just wanted to escape from that. I definitely see a lot of young people voicing their concern, saying how scared they are, describing their fights with families, etc. Because this propaganda, it's targeting families, really. And I can see a lot of people just falling victim to it. Parents, for example, parents of teenagers who are completely under the spell of this gay people are abusers propaganda, and then it turns out that their own child is queer and they will not be able to come out to their parents, because how would they do that? So yeah, it's the situation is very dire. And, you know, I don't know, maybe sometimes I feel like due to my transition, I kind of missed out on being a teenager. So maybe that's why I really feel for young people so much, because, you know, I see myself in them, I guess. But yeah, I have a tough skin now, but when I think about those, you know, 15-year-old kids who are hearing all this, I'm just really, I'm furious about them. I really want to do something for them.
And what do you think can be done to push back against everything that is happening? Do you have any advice? How do you organize yourself with other activists?
Well, what I would like to see being done is actually some kind of international reaction. Because at this point, I'm not sure how much we can do ourselves. I mean, we've been fighting for years, and we're not even able to stop the cars from driving around Polish cities. And when we go out to protest, the police is just treating us like we're the criminals. Because, well, technically we are. Because it's perfectly illegal. I mean, it's perfectly legal, thanks Freud, to just go out in the streets and call minorities pedophile rapists, because there is no legislation around that. So I would really like not to feel just left out and just left behind even by the international community. There are already protests being done in many international countries, you know, shows of solidarity with Poland. But I really want the European Union to take action. Because, well, we are a European Union country where it's completely legal to perpetuate like almost pre-genocide propaganda. That's unthinkable to me. I think that European Union should take very serious action and very immediate action, because what is going on against LGBT rights in Poland is just, it's a travesty, really. And, you know, what can we do as activists? We can just be, you know, we can show solidarity with one another. We can protest. And I feel like we are not just fighting the far right, but also so many people who are claiming that they are not homophobic, that they are not transphobic, but they see almost a cultural transgression in acts like a rainbow flag being put on a statue. We are being tone policed constantly, even though we have been educating and asking politely for 30 years and have not, you know, acquired anything, because there has been no legislation whatsoever that would bring some sort of equality to LGBT people. I mean, you have to sue your parents when you are changing your legal gender, because there is no law for that. And there is no protection from hate speech, from hate crime, no civil partnerships, no marriage equality, nothing. And it's been a long fight. So it just, you know, it drives me insane that you put a rainbow flag on a statue and suddenly you're being lectured on how to do activism, when you have been doing that sort of soft cultured activism for so many years.
Thank you so much, Maya. I think you have really like nailed the point about how the LGBTQ struggle in Poland is connected to not only European and EU security policy, but it's also connected to Article 7, and really with a very descriptive language hint to maybe an even harsher reality if this would be some sort of pre-genocide indicators. And I think the international community definitely have to step up. Yeah. And I know that the Swedish RFSL are supporting several initiatives in Poland, but we need more media units going out and explaining what is happening and not just stopping at the presidential election that happened a month ago, but mm-hmm. following what you as a trans activist and others with you are trying to push for change in Poland. Do you have any last words of hope? Do you have hope, Maya? Or, I mean, I can hear you say like 50% of the country are not at least so homophobic that they would vote on a president-elect that is running on a complete anti-gay platform. But it sounds like a lot of things need to happen for a change to come about.
I would say what gives me hope is that I see many people I previously believed to be centrists, to be people who didn't really want to take sides, to become more radicalized towards equality, as weird as that sounds.
Like radicalized equality. Yeah.
I see more allies, I guess. More allies being active in their being allies, I guess, what I'm trying to say. Because I'm used to seeing LGBT people doing their activism. I mean, being queer, especially in such a queerphobic state, is a political act in itself. Being yourself is already an act of resistance, I guess. So it's easy for me to just expect some sort of activism from LGBT people. But I would say that I can definitely see an increase in the number of allies.
And I think putting this, the LGBTQ rights situation in Poland within the youth, peace and security context will help also explain to the EU and to other state parties how important it is that the international community does get involved. And I have been shocked to some of the things that you told, but I think it's very important also that these stories are being told, because if they're not heard, if your community is not visible, then we will never be able to do anything to combat what is happening and what is developing right now in Poland. And all these things, I think you're very correct in that things are escalating, and because they are escalating quickly, it is cause for concern and it is cause for action from all of us.
Yeah. Well, I know I was going to, I mean, I was supposed to end on a hopeful note, but not once and not twice I have seen pictures of just basically threats against LGBT people written on walls. There was even this famous example, and a window of a gay couple was sprayed with, you know, fuck LGBT, and with arrows pointing at their window. So basically it's like, attack those people. So yeah, what I said to you today is shocking, that's true, but it's also a small portion of what's happening. It's just there are so many examples, so many hateful things happening, so many hateful things being said. It's just impossible to list them all and be able to still like breathe.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Change Rebels podcast. Before we end today, we have a treat for you. The Polish post-punk feminist band Shikza, comprising poet and singer Alex Freiheit and bassist Burry, have recently released their album Revenge of the Enemy, and they have given us the permission to play one of their songs. Super, super exciting. The track is in support of the LGBTQ plus community, accompanied by a video featuring footage of police
assaulting protesters, pushing and dragging them on the ground during the protests in Poland in August. Here is Proszę Hasła with Shiksa.
Nasze idee są kuloodporne, nasze zjednoczone siły są jak sztuki walki wszechstronne, nasze ciała zmęczone, poobijane, poniewierane przez stróży prawa, nasze ciała to jest nasza sprawa, nie dotykaj, nie podważaj, nie waż się tknąć, jesteśmy nietykalni, ze swoją nietykalnością nielegalni, mój ruch jest nielegalny, twój ruch jest nielegalny, nasz ruch jest nielegalny, zawsze będzie nielegalny. Żadne prawo nas nie obroni, nigdy nie broniło. A najlepsze płyty były nielegalne. A naszą siłą jest odwaga do robienia nielegalnych rzeczy. W świetle prawa, w tym państwie bezprawia, prawo nigdy nie będzie po naszej stronie.
Jebać wasze pedofilobusy, zostawcie dzieci w spokoju, bo ich nietykalność właśnie naruszacie. Ordo. Ordo. Ordo.
Mordo, you risk your life. Mordo, it's gonna be tough. O do E do D do O. Putinowski szajs. J do U do R do I do S. Kremlowski szpion. No chodź tu. Przyjdź po mnie o 6 nad ranem do domu. No wystąp, wystąp, kiedy hymn ci gram. Do hymnu, kurwo, do hymnu. Przyjedź po mnie do 6200 o 6 nad ranem. Albo oszczędź sobie tej fatygi, bo nawet ta fatyga nie zmieni naszych poglądów na świat, w którym domagając się równych praw jesteśmy przez was deptani, poniżani, codziennie poniżani. Ty też byłeś poniżany, na pewno kolego, i dlatego teraz chcesz poniżyć słabszych od siebie. Tylko zbierz swoje siły na zamiary, bo my jesteśmy tak wkurwieni, że już za chwilę będziesz chował swoją pałę i kulił się przed nami razem ze swoimi psami, razem ze swoimi chłopcami od wojny. Chcecie wojny, bawiliście się w nią chłopcy na podwórku i marzyliście, żeby kiedyś w wojnie wystąpić tam gdzieś u władzy. Tylko żadne ustawienie na waszej podwórkowej planszy nie przewidziało tego, że pedały będą wam sens powiedz spędzały. Trochę to dla was jest zaskoczenie, trochę jesteście już bezbronni. Tylko macie za sobą jeszcze pieniądze, a my ich nie potrzebujemy, żeby wyjść na ulicę i krzyczeć. Nasza historia będzie usłyszana, nasza historia będzie spisana. Właśnie to robimy, gdy wy jeszcze słodko śpicie. Właśnie to robią z Białorusi chłopaki, dziewczyny. Dziewczyny krzyczą głośno. Właśnie to robią z Białorusi chłopaki, dziewczyny. Dziewczyny krzyczą głośno. Raz, dwa, trzy. Jebać psy. Raz, dwa, trzy. Jebać, 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 to jest proste hasło. Jebać, 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 brud zaszczytych to nie wstyd. Jebać, 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 to jest proste hasło. Jebać, 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 brud zaszczytych to nie wstyd. Bo jeszcze po ciebie nie przyszli, jeszcze się nie dokopali, jeszcze cię nie pokopali, jeszcze sobie śpisz, jeszcze wchodzisz na fejsa spokojnie do kawki i sprawdzasz, co słychać u tych dzieciaków zabranych do paki. Spokojnie patrzysz, jak prawo człowieka jest łamane. Ale co będzie, jak twój spokój ci zabiorą? Ale co będzie, jak twój pokój ci spiorą po kościach od środka, wywiercą dziurę? Powiem ci, co zrobisz, słuchaj nieuważnie. Staniesz razem z nami na każdej ulicy tego miasta. My podamy tobie rękę, każdy z nas i każda. My tu jesteśmy po to, by być już zawsze. Po naszej stronie nigdy nie będzie milionów, a jednak nie wybieram się nigdzie indziej. Wiem, że możemy na siebie liczyć w tej krzywdzie. Wiem, że z kolei tobie może wydawać się, że nie robisz wystarczająco. Pytasz, jak pomóc, od czego zacząć. Rób tyle, na ile wystarcza tobie sił, bo jesteś ważna, jesteś cenna. Setek tysięcy milionów ludzi na świecie, bo są nas miliony. Jesteś ważna, jesteś piękna, jak tęczowa flaga. Piękna, symbol piękna i dobra. To my i nasze flagi powiewające dumnie. Nie damy się, nie skończymy w trumnach. Po prostu zacznij od powiedzenia sobie samej na głos. Stop, sturom, stop, sturom, stop, sturom, stop. Stop, sturom, stop, sturom, stop, sturom, stop. Stop, sturom, stop, sturom, stop, sturom. Już samo to, że jesteś, jest aktem oporu. Już samo to, że żyjesz, jest buntem przeciwko tej chorobie. Gdzie orków, pośród których my jesteśmy jak elfy w błyszczących w zbrojach w świetle. You, you go girl, you go. With us, together.
oni to pierdoleni faszyści. Koniec dyskusji, wyłączaj internety i chodź na ulicę krzyczeć. Raz, dwa, trzy. Jebać psy. Raz, dwa, trzy. Jebać psy. Raz, dwa, trzy. Jebać psy. Raz, dwa, trzy. Jebać psy.